In the Gospel from the feast, we read, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. St. Louis de Montfort says that the most infallible and indubitable sign by which we may distinguish a heretic, a man of bad doctrine, a reprobate, from one of the predestinate, is that the heretic and reprobate have nothing but contempt and indifference for our Blessed Lady, endeavoring by their words and the examples to diminish the veneration and love of her. You're probably already aware of it, but the big news in the Catholic world is that the Dicastery for the Doctrine of the Faith in the Novus Ordo has recently put out a letter which was approved by Leo XIV, the so-called Pope of the Vatican II Church, which said that, quote, "It is always inappropriate to use the title co-redemptrix to define Mary's cooperation," and saying that it is confusing and unhelpful because it has to be explained again and again and again to the faithful. But that wasn't the only title of Our Lady that was done away with. Her beautiful title of Mediatrix was also nixed. More on that another day. But these are two titles of Our Lady which are dear to Catholics because of the doctrines that they express about Our Lady. Now, in the Council of Vatican II, that title of co-redemptrix was avoided. It was avoided for ecumenical reasons, that is, because it would offend the Protestants and non-Catholics. So they never once mentioned it in the Council. John Paul II stopped using the title of co-redemptrix, referring to Our Lady. Benedict XVI wanted nothing to do with that title, and he made that very clear. Francis Bergoglio opposed it as well. So the Vatican II Church has no use for that title of Our Lady. But we know, as Catholics, that in the matter of salvation, Our Lady plays a prominent place. St. Bernard says that the Lord has placed in Mary the plenitude of all good, so that if any hope or grace or salvation is in us, we know that we derive it all from Mary. And Pope Leo XIII said that every grace, not some, every grace which is communicated to this world has a threefold origin. It flows from God to Christ, and from Christ to the Virgin, and from the Virgin to us. Nothing comes to us except through the mediation of Mary, for such is the will of God. And he continues, "Whosoever will not have recourse to her is trying to fly without wings. No one, O Mother of God, attains salvation except through thee." And see what this Novus Ordo religion is trying to take away from souls: the mediation of Our Lady. So Our Lady's titles of co-redemptrix and mediatrix are, as I said, titles that express the most important truths about Our Lady's role in the redemption and salvation of men. In order to understand how Our Lady could satisfy, repair for our sins, and thus be a co-redemptrix, we must first understand some theology about merit. Merit, in general, is the right to a reward. For example, if an employee succeeds well in his job, he may merit the right to a raise. He has merited it. In the order of salvation, supernatural merit is a right to a supernatural reward. So for supernatural acts of charity and love of God, we merit the supernatural reward of heaven. Now there are three types of merit, bear with me. There is first of all the highest type of merit, and that kind was that of our Lord. It is perfectly and fully worthy of reward. He was able to merit in strict justice because every one of his actions is equal in value to the reward. He is God, which made his every action of an infinite value. And furthermore, he could merit for another person in strict justice. Secondly, there is the merit of a person who is in the state of grace, yourself. Every person, and this is a teaching of the faith, every person in the state of sanctifying grace who has the use of reason and free will and who is a member of the church militant can merit an increase of charity and of eternal life, de condigno. That is, his actions are worthy of supernatural reward. In this type of merit, there is an element of justice, but he can only merit for himself. We cannot merit for others in justice. Only Christ can do that. Thirdly, now a person who is in the state of grace cannot merit in strict justice for another person. As I said, only Christ can do that. But this third type of merit, it's a lower kind of merit in which a soul in the state of grace can merit for another. This merit is based not on justice. This merit is based upon friendship with God. In other words, a soul in the state of grace has the friendship of God. A soul in the state of grace does God's will and strives to do it every day. And so it is fitting with the rites of friendship that God should do that soul's will in saving another person. For example, a good Christian mother can, by her good works and deeds, merit the conversion of her son, but it is not based on justice, but on her friendship with God. It is becoming that God should do this, though he is not bound in justice. And that is how Saint Monica merited the conversion of Saint Augustine. Of him it was said by Saint Ambrose, the son of so many tears could not be lost. Now, Our Lady merits for us just as any mother can merit for her children, but with this difference: Our Lady did not merit merely some graces for us. She merited all graces for us. And now that she is in heaven, she prays that these graces will be applied to us, and furthermore, she distributes them. All the graces that Christ merited for us in strict justice, Our Lady merited for us by this third type of merit, which was based on friendship. It was becoming that God should accept the merits of Our Lady for us because of her charity and friendship with God. So, in this way, she merited for us all the graces required to obey the commandments. She merited for us all efficacious graces. She merited for the elect their call to the Catholic faith, their justification, their final perseverance, and their eternal glory. Now, a meritorious act, be patient for a little bit longer, a meritorious act becomes an act of satisfaction or reparatory when the act is in some way painful. And the purpose of any satisfaction is to repair and make up for the offense offered. The offense is measured by the dignity of the person offended. It is worse to slap a king than to slap a mere citizen. Now, because God is infinite goodness, the offense of Adam against him was of an infinite offense, which would require infinite satisfaction. And Christ alone, because he is God, was able to make infinite satisfaction to the Father for our sins. But Our Lady, in the same way that she merited for us, satisfied for our sins. She made satisfaction for our sins. And it was becoming that God the Father should accept that satisfaction. This is the theology behind that title. The Mother of the Redeemer was always, as you know, closely united to Jesus by perfect conformity of her will to his, by humility, by poverty, by suffering, and most particularly by her compassion on Calvary. She was perfectly united to him. And that is what is meant when it is said that she offered satisfaction along with him. Mary's sufferings actually have the character of satisfaction because, like Jesus, and in union with him, she suffered because of sin. Our Lady saw that all souls are called to glorify God, and she saw that soon those souls called to glorify God would instead kill God. And that is what brought her to the foot of the cross. I'll read from Bossuet. Mary stands near the cross. With what eyes she contemplates her son, all covered with blood, all covered with wounds, in form now hardly a man. The sight is enough to cause her death. And if she draws near to that altar, it is to be immolated there. And there, in fact, does she feel Simeon's sword pierce her heart. But did her dolors overcome her? Did her grief cast her to the ground? No. Stabat juxta crucem. She stood by the cross. The sword pierced her heart, but did not take away her strength of soul. Her constancy equals her affliction, and her face is the face of one no less resigned than afflicted. It was providence that brought her to the foot of the cross so that she might immolate her son, that we might have life. The redemption of our souls cost Jesus and Mary more than we can ever imagine. And now the Vatican II Church wants to strip Our Lady of that precious title of the co-redemptrix. Benedict XV said that in uniting herself to the passion and death of her son, she suffered almost to death, As far as it depended on her, she immolated her son, so that it can be said that with him she redeemed the human race. She is the co-redemptrix. I ask now that we all, as Catholics who love our Heavenly Mother and never want to see her blasphemed or any of her privileges or rights taken away or any falsehood spoken about her, to make reparation, rosaries of reparation, and other penances offered in reparation for this, the denial of this title. And let us remember to pray to Our Lady furthermore for the conversion of those who have perpetrated it. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.